This is Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. What if the phrase home sweet home applied not just to where you kicked off your shoes at night, but also to your doctor's office? It's kind of the idea behind a medical home, which many see as a way to bring down the costs of healthcare. And Colorado's just gotten a big federal grant to encourage medical homes. Doctors will get paid more if they take on greater responsibility for their patients. Here to explain is Dr. Margie Harbrecht. She's a family physician who these days is consulting with other docs to improve care in their offices. Her nonprofit in Lakewood is called Health Teamworks. And thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You've spent the last few years helping a lot of Colorado doctors' offices become medical homes, and you call them a transformation in healthcare. What are they exactly?
That's a great question. I love your home sweet home, because that really is the feel that the medical home is supposed to engender, which is that patients will have easier access to their doctors and their team, the healthcare team for them, that they know who they are, they know what their history is, and they can actually help them navigate the complex healthcare system that we have when they're sick, but even more importantly, work with them to stay healthy.
And that is the pivotal point, that if there's investment on the front end, you don't wind up with really sick people who rack up huge healthcare costs?
That's a big part of it, absolutely.
Now, haven't you just described what every doctor's office should already be, right? My advocate in the healthcare system and the place where I feel at home?
Yeah, so we always talk about building a medical home in the current environment is like building a house in a swamp with alligators all around it. you know, our environment has really evolved and gotten very much more complex. The payment system that we're currently in pays for doctors to do more things, not necessarily help their patients get to better health outcomes. So it really is a new way of thinking about being more proactive, not waiting until my patients get sick, but really helping them become very much more motivated and taking responsibility and setting their own health goals and then helping them get to those health goals.
Okay, let's take this to a doctor's office, because you've been consulting with offices. What is a change you've seen a doctor make in his or her approach to patients that exemplifies this?
Sure. So one of the biggest things I would say, first of all, is just getting access to the doctor and the healthcare team. So being able to have hours that are outside of the regular normal hours on weekends or evenings, even get email access to practices when you need it. But one of the other big things is that the practices now act as a team. So it's not just what does the doctor do, but it's the whole team working together from the first time that the patient calls in for their appointment to the time that they check out and after their appointment to make sure that they get the care that they need to be as healthy as possible.
So you're syncing up the doctor, the person at the front desk, the nurse, all of those folks.
Correct.
Now, the model you've just described there, this outreach model, is the payment system we've got now just not an incentive to do that kind of stuff?
Right. There's no payment to reach out to patients to proactively manage people. I only get paid when people come to my office and sit in front of me when they have a problem. I don't get paid to make sure that they stay healthy. I also don't get paid to coordinate their care. So if they're seeing many other physicians or having other medical care, even though it's complicated, there's nobody really quarterbacking for the patients right now. There's nobody watching the whole person to make sure that if I'm on 10 medications, that they're not interacting with each other, or that if I have five different care plans from different doctors, that there's not some things that are going to be counteractive.
Well, the idea behind the money that the federal government is giving to Colorado is to make this medical home idea worth it financially. There's up to $240 a year per patient on Medicare for offices that become these medical homes.
Right. And what's even better about the initiative that's coming down from the federal group is that they are pulling in all of the other health plans in Colorado. So we have eight other health plans that will be joining them. So it's not just the Medicare patients that will they will be getting paid to take better care of. It will be all the patients in their practice that are covered through the health plans.
So this involves Medicare, and as you say, it also involves private insurers. And Let's bring in that viewpoint. Julie Shills is with us. She's with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It's one of the biggest health insurers in Colorado. Julie, thanks for joining in the discussion.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Private health insurance companies, including yours, are partnering with the federal government in this project. So that indicates to me that this is more than just speculation, that this actually is proven to save money, creating medical homes.
Absolutely. The value that we have seen both in medical home programs on quality, meaning better care delivered to diabetics, better care delivered to those who have heart disease, better care delivered on prevention so people are getting their screening and immunizations, has been incredible. We've also seen, related to that better quality care, actually lower costs to our healthcare delivery system. Not lower costs because we're not providing services, but lower costs because we're providing the right services.
That is, it's cheaper to work on the front end when people are well or problems are nascent than emergency care.
Absolutely. We've seen this in many of our states that we've worked towards patient-centered medical home, and we found incredible success from that.
But this is a really big change in just even how you like code procedures. You know, insurance companies say, okay, you did a blood draw, so that's worth this much. We reimburse you this much. You've really had to change how you look at services and fees.
Absolutely. So we have a system that is perfectly designed to pay for reactive care delivery services, and it is costing us a lot of money. It is not bringing value.
Can you put any numbers to this? So how much money is saved per patient, or how much better a patient does? Because you also talk about quality.
Absolutely. In Colorado, we worked with primary care practices on the patient-centered medical home concept. And what we've shown in our data is that in diabetes care, all the measures related to diabetes care improved. This is pretty incredible.
All the measures. What are a few of those?
Getting the appropriate labs done for a diabetic person, getting your blood sugar checked. Not only getting your blood sugar checked, but also having that blood sugar be in the appropriate range. It also includes things like foot exams, blood pressure being taken, and blood pressure being in a safe range for diabetic patients. We've also seen hospitalizations for diabetic members have actually decreased. And those hospitalizations really happened because care wasn't coordinated previously. So now with a system where we're paying appropriately, we're allowing primary care practices to transform how they're delivering care, we're actually decreasing those hospital visits that didn't need to happen because patients are getting the care they need in a community setting.
Well, Dr. Harbrecht, a little bit of a skeptical question here. Is it possible that, medical homes are just a kind of front for medical rationing, that this is really just about limiting people's access to specialists, for example, giving them cheaper care, and then calling it a benefit?
I know that that is on some people's minds, that this is going back to the days of managed care, where there was a gatekeeper model, where you had to see a primary care practice before you could get referred to a specialist.
Right. How does a quarterback, because you use the quarterback metaphor, right, differ from a gatekeeper?
Right. Yeah. We call this more of a gateway model, that this is really working with a team of people that know who you are, as I said. They know your history. So it's really the value that they provide for you instead of going to the emergency room where they don't know who you are, so they're having to run a lot of tests. This is really starting to build that relationship, which is a key component to a medical home.
There are incentives in this money for creating a medical home. Are there disincentives? Are there penalties if a doctor is suggesting more expensive care?
You know, you could, you know, start to, as we're starting to evolve this model, those practices and those physicians that keep costs under better control are going to have a better option of sharing in some of those savings. But at the same time, and what we didn't have in the managed care days was it has to be balanced by quality of care and patient's experience of care. So if you don't have those three pieces working together, then you do have the potential downside of saying we're just going to stop giving care or we're going to ration care. But if you also have to provide the best quality of care at the same time as providing a really good experience for people, that's where you can bring in what we call the triple aim goals, or, you know, all three of those legs of the stool that need to balance each other out.
The checks and balances on just driving down cost is quality and whether the patient is happy at the end of it.
Exactly right.
Alive.
Yes.
This initiative from the federal government is part of the big 2010 federal health law, and that law leans pretty heavily on changing the medical payment system on innovations like we're talking about. That law is, of course, currently before the U.S. Supreme Court. And if the High Court tosses it out, does that mean that this goes away?
Well, I can certainly speak for some of the work that we're doing, not only in Colorado, but across the country. This has really become a movement. The horse is out of the barn, per se. This is kind of the less political aspects of the healthcare reform bill, where it's the work we need to be doing. Instead of waiting for patients to get sick, we need to be more proactive and help them stay healthy. We need to start reducing costs because we're really breaking the country. I mean, we are now almost 20% of our national budget is going to healthcare. That's really not sustainable.
If the law is struck down or key provisions of it are, it sounds like you think there is still momentum behind this idea.
No question about it. It is a movement across the country, not only from the practice levels, but from all the plans.
My sense is, Julie, that insurance companies, and we'll, by the way, post a list of other insurers in Colorado that are participating in this medical homes idea, CPR.org. But my sense from this is that you're not moving forward with this because the federal government is telling you to. It's because the math works out. It's in your best interest.
Absolutely, it does. We've seen in the initiatives we participated in that not only do patients get better care, that they feel like they have a primary care physician, they care about them, they know where to go when they're having issues, and it's a partnership and a relationship in the care delivery.
And what's really exciting about this is all of the health plans that we've been working with are saying the same things. Practices are calling us, wanting to do this work. We have at least 80 other practices that have been working toward these goals that are now really ready to be able to accept some of these additional payments.
Well, I think scope is an important topic. This innovation program that Colorado is a part of with the federal government, it's only at this point for a limited number of practices, right?
Yes, it's only 75 practices for this particular initiative. But our goal is to continue to work with all of the health plans in Colorado to push past just those 75 and make it available to any practice in Colorado, any primary care practice that is willing to step up and transform the way they're delivering health care so that they can be paid differently to deliver that care.
And Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, as Margie mentioned, intends to continue to move forward past those 75 practices who might participate in this initiative and work with other primary care practices as well.
Thank you, ladies, both for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.
Julie Shills is with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of Colorado's largest health insurers. And Dr. Margie Harbrecht runs the Lakewood nonprofit Health Teamworks. They spoke to us about medical homes.